Parshios, based on the passage in the Zohar, Midrashim like that, that there are 53 Sedras. Problem is that there are 54 Sedras. So there's a discussion in Achrayna, which two does the Zohar combine together? Some say that it's Truma Tetzava, because the name of Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't appear in Tetzava. And the Gomle Goyen and most of the Mekubalim say that it's Nitzovim Vayelach. If someone pointed out to me, I never noticed this, that at the end of every Sedra, they tell me how many Psukim there are. So at the end of Nitzovim, it doesn't say how many Psukim. At the end of Vayelach, it says that there are 70 Psukim in Nitzovim Vayelach together. So obviously, whoever wrote the number of Psukim was of the opinion that Nitzovim Vayelach is one Sedra. It was written by the Vilna Goyen, but whoever wrote it obviously thought like the Vilna Goyen. Nitzovim Vayelach are together. Beginning of Nitzavim is a hemshach of the Teuchecha. The Teuchecha was decreased as Bris and Aris Moyav. That's how the Pasuk says, Eile Dibri HaBris. They're speaking so. Eile Dibri HaBris, Ashatziv Hashem is Moshe Lichris, is when he saw the Eretz Moyav. Melvad HaBris, Oshakaras Hiton Bichorev. Har Chorev is Har Sinai. So the original Bris at Har Sinai had a Teuchecha with it. That's Teuchecha and Bichul Kaisai, that Ezra made a takana to read that Teuchecha before Shavuos, the second Shabbos before Shavuos. And this is the Teuchecha and Kisabai that we read last Shabbos, the second Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, is the text of the Krisis Bris that Moshe Rabbeinu made with Bnei Yisrael. Leila Dibra Bisa, Shekoros Moshe, as Bnei Yisrael. And Abbas Ma, why was there a need for a second Krisis Bris? They already made the first Krisis Bris. So the Pasuk says in today's Sedra, Lo yetchem levatchem enoch karisis habris azoz, ki yis ha-she yeshnam po, ve-yis ha-she imane po, imanu ha-yoyim. Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Shavuos, who is ha-she enenu po? Av the doros ha-sidim lehios. The original Bris at Har Sinai was only made with the people who were present at Har Sinai. Whoever was born later was not really obligated to observe the mitzvahs because of the bris at Har Sinai. But we today, we weren't around at Har Sinai, we're obligated to observe the mitzvahs not because of the bris at Har Sinai, but rather because of the bris at Aris Moyav. Why was that bris able to be chal on the Doros HaBoim, original bris not? So the the text ends over here. Beginning of Nitzavim is a hemshach of the Teuchecha. Then it says, "Hanistaros Hashem Elokeinu v'hadink los lo no vaneinu ad olam lasis kol dibri ha-teira hazois." So the Gemara understands, "Hadink los lo no vaneinu la'asos la'asos like a get meusa." When the bezin forces someone to give a get, that's called a get meusa. When you pressure, the Gemara says, "Gadol ha-ma'asa yoisem in ha'isa." If I pressure you to give tzedakah, I get more schar than you. You're giving the tzedakah. You're the osa. I'm the ma'asa. I forced you to give the tzedakah. So lasos is called the atarazos, means to force other people, to pressure other people to observe mitzvahs. So this din of kol yisrael arev mezeh bezeh, the Gemara says, only began mishavri yisrael l'sayarden, after they made the krisis bris at Hagrizim and Harevel. Rav Soloveitchik explained that the Rebbeinu Shlom really wanted to make the second bris in Eretz Yisrael. He wanted that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon Hanavim. He wanted him to be involved. He should be in charge of the bris. But Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. And the Chris's bris had to be made in Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu began the bris and Yeshua Ben Nun completed it. So the third bris, there was the first bris at Har Sinai. Second bris was Avos Moav. The third bris at Hagriz Ma'arevel was really Hemshech of the second. Eretz Yisrael is the mitzaref of all of Klal Yisrael. It's a secular concept. Eretz Yisrael is our national homeland, but it's aloha like that. That the tziref of Klal Yisrael is really only those who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs writes this, and Mitzvah says it, Kuf Nun Gimel. It's a very long arichas. Usually the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs just has a paragraph, and here he has a long arichas about Kiddush HaChodesh. So he says, Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah, he holds is only one mitzvah, it's not two mitzvahs. Kfiyas Haluch is one mitzvah. The Ramban explains that according to the Halachas Gedolos, the two are two mitzvahs. Kiddush HaChodesh is one mitzvah, HaChodesh is Halachem, and Ibra Hashanah is another mitzvah. So the Rambam, first of all, counts it as one mitzvah. Then number two, the Rambam has over there a long arichas, it can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. And he says the reason why is because Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah is done by the Bez Nagodol, the Rambam's opinion. Ramban disagrees with that. Ramban disagrees a lot with what the Rambam wrote there. Mitzvah Sekuf Nun Gimel. So the Rambam says that Bez Nagadol does the Kiddush HaChodesh in the Ibra Shana as representing Klal Yisrael. And the Ikat Siruf of Klal Yisrael is only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. And that's the line where the Rambam has, I don't read Arabic, but I read the Hebrew translation. So what it says in the Hebrew translation is, if one could imagine that there would be no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, there are millions of Jews living all over the world. But Chas V'Shalom, that's what it says in the translation. If Chas V'Shalom, one can visualize that there are no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, then Hashem violated His promise. He promised not only that there would be survivors, He promised that Klal Yisrael would survive. Klal Yisrael means if you have Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. He says there were always 10 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. If you have 10 Jews in Eretz Yisrael and 100 million Jews living in Chutz Loretz, so all the Jews in Chutz Loretz are considered Ki Yechidim, and the 10 Jews in Eretz Yisrael are considered the Tzibur. That's the Loshon HaGemara, the end of the first Perek in Tainus. The Gemara says, you only say the same Talamoto Levracha when the Tzibur needs rain. Let's say in Eretz Yisrael, in the middle of the summer, it never rains. One person needs rain for whatever his purpose happens to be. So he should add on, okay, so let him ask. It's not like praying for a miracle. Once in a long while, it does rain a little bit in the middle of summer. You let him ask for the rain. But he shouldn't say B'Sein Talamot in the middle of Baruch Aleinu, the Gemara says. You should say in Shemet Tfila. You only say B'Sein Talamot in Baruch Aleinu when the Tzibur needs it. So the Gemara asks him, what if you have tens of thousands of Jews living in Ir Gedolah K'Ninveh? Ninveh was a big city. Gemara says, no. All the Jews that live in Chutz Loretz are Ki'ichidim Dami. They're not considered a Tzibur. It's based on that Gemara that the Minchas Chinuch interprets the Gemara in Erechin on Daf Yud. The Gemara says, why is there a discrepancy between Purim and Chanukah? How come we only recite Halal on Chanukah? How come we don't recite Halal on Purim? The Gemara gives three different answers, in Megillah and in Erchin. So the Marsha is in Erchin, though, it's not in Megillah. So the Gemara gives one of the three answers is, you only say Halal on Anes in Eretz Yisrael. On Anes on Chutz Loretz, you don't say. Why not? So the Minchas Chinuch thinks that a nest that happened in Eretz Yisrael, even if there were only 10 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, that's considered a nest that occurred to Klal Yisrael. A nest in Chutz Loretz, that's considered a nest for Yechidim. And he quotes this Gemara, the end of the first daf, the end of the first perik in Tainus, but the Gemara says like that. You only say B'Sein Talamator when you have a Tzibur needs the rain, and all the Jews who live in the Ir Gedolah K'Ninveh are all considered Ki Yechidim Domo. The Rambam writes the same in the Pirush HaMishnayis in Bechorvis and Daf Chavtes, where he writes, the Mishnais there are talking about smicha. Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. Cannot confer smicha in Chutz Loretz. So the Gemara never has a pasuk to indicate that that's so. Why should it be so? So the Rambam says, because when a rabbi has smicha, from his rabbi had smicha all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yish Mipiyish and Moshe Rabbeinu, when he confers the smicha, it's not a private affair. I have smicha, I give smicha to my student. When someone gives smicha, he's giving B'Shem Kol Yisrael, he's representing Klal Yisrael. So representing Klal Yisrael is only if you were in Eretz Yisrael. The Avnei Nezer has the first two tshuvas in the second chelik of Orech Chaim. Of the Avnei Nezer, the first two tshuvas are about this topic, and he puts together the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos HaSekuf Nun Gimel, with this Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis and Bechoras Daf Chav Tes, that you can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael. It's also because smicha is conferred as a representative. The one who's giving smicha is considered as if he's representing Klal Yisrael. How does the Rambam know that that's so? That only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael constitute Klal Yisrael? So the Rambam there in the Pirush HaMishnayis and Pchoras Daf Chav Tes quotes a Gemara from the beginning of Horius. I think it's Daf Dalet in Horius. B'Horua Halocha Acharoi V'Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael. The first parak in Horius talks about the institution of Par Helam Dovah Shel Tzibur. That if an individual person, a private person, was Machal Shabbos B'Shoigig, Heret Chelev B'Shoigig, Heret Chomiz B'Pesach, Heret on Yom Kippur B'Shoigig. Whenever a person violates an Aver B'Shoigig, which if he would have violated it B'Mezid, he would have been Chayv Kores, so if he violates a B'Shoigig, he's Chayv Chattos. Kol Shel Zdon HaKores, he's Shigigos HaChattos. What if 100 people, what if 1,000 people were Machal Shabbos B'Shoigig? Each one has to bring his own Karbon Chattos. What if the Bez Nagadol paskin that a certain activity is mutter on Shabbos? It's mutter to turn on lights on Shabbos. It's not included. Electric lights are not included in Havar. And then the Rav of the Tzibur violate the din because of the mistaken psak of the Bez Nagadol. And then the Bez Nagadol changes their psak. They say, we made a mistake and it's a malocha deraisa. So the Chumash says that we don't require each and every individual person to bring a korban chatas. Bez Nagodl brings one chatas par halam davar shel tzibur. It's in Parshas Vayikra, and everybody gets a kapara. So the Gemara says, how do you calculate whether 51% of the tzibur violated the avera or not? But hayro, when it comes to a mistaken psak of the Bez Nagodl, halacha haroi v'yoshvei Eretz Yisrael. You only count those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Those who live in Chutz Laaretz are considered kiyichidim. They're not considered part of Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara shows that this is so from a pasuk in Sefer Melachim, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, everybody came to celebrate Kol Gadol Melevei Chamos Anacha Mitzrayim, for the northernmost point in Eretz Yisrael to the southernmost point. And the pasuk says Kol Gadol. It's only called Kol those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Those who live in Chutz Laaretz are not considered Kol. So these are mitzvahs which only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael because only Eretz Yisrael has Kedushas Haaretz. But here we're talking about mitzvahs that are not agricultural mitzvahs. Par Halam Davar Shel Tzibur in Smicha, Egla Rufa is also Egla Rufa, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So the reason why these are restricted only to Eretz Yisrael is because these are Chayvus HaTzibur, and the concept of Tzibur only applies to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Ben Gurion used to say like that. Ben Gurion didn't believe in the religion. He was an atheist, so he only believed in the Jewish nation. So he said, all the Jews who live in Chutz Laaretz are not Jewish. Because to him, Jewish means a Jewish nation. So he's right. The Jews who live in Chutz Laaretz are not part of the Klal Yisrael. But we hold that there are two concepts. There's a Kedushas Yisrael, that's Mechayv and Mitzvah, so that applies to all the Jews all over the world also. Just that there's an additional concept that Klal Yisrael is a nation. So the nation, the Ikat Sirf of the nation, is only those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Abdenezer has a tshuv in Chelek Ebenezer where he talks about the Reformed Jews in Europe who took out from the davening any mention about Sechazen and Enib Shul Chalitzim Barachim. They weren't interested in returning back. They were opposed to the Zionist movement. They didn't subscribe to this idea that Eretz Yisrael is a national homeland of the Jewish people. They wanted to stay in Germany. They wanted to stay in Europe. They weren't interested in moving back to Eretz Yisrael. So he says, halacha l'maisa, they're not part of Klal Yisrael. Those, the Ikat Sirf of Klal Yisrael applies to those who actually live in Eretz Yisrael, mamish. Those who relate to Eretz Yisrael, they subscribe to the concept that Eretz Yisrael is our national homeland. They're also second-rate citizens. They're also considered to have a shaykhus to Klal Yisrael. But if a Jew doesn't subscribe to this idea, Eretz Yisrael is our national homeland, so then he's not part of Klal Yisrael. He has an afkamina ledina based on this. So that's how Rav Soloveitchik explained. The Rebbe Shlomo really wanted to make the second, why is the second bris binding on us? The first bris is not binding on us. Bris at Har Sinai is not binding. This bris at Arvis Moyav, Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Shavuos. So why is it binding on the Doras HaSinim Lo? Because the second bris was made with Klal Yisrael as a nation. So a nation, that's Shav Yisrael as HaYarden. After they crossed over the Yarden, Eretz Yisrael is Mitzara for all the Jewish people. So the Baruch Shalom wanted the second bris to be made in Eretz Yisrael, that it should be binding on the Doras HaBot. But he wanted Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNavim, to be connected with the bris. But Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't permitted to enter Eretz Yisrael. The Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, you begin the bris and Arvis Moav, you're going to die, and your Talmud Yeshua Ben Nun is going to complete it. So that's what the Gemara says. Lo manokud, there are 11 nekudas on top of the words lo nol vanenu and the ayin avad. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, why 11 nekudas? Whenever they're nekudas, he treated as if the words were crossed out. It means there is no Arvus. Handiglis lono vaneinu ad olam, forever. This Kol Yisrael Arim Zebzeh forever. It's not exactly forever. It didn't begin yet. It didn't begin till after Meshav Yisrael Sayardin, and they made the Krisis Bris at HaGrisim and HaRevel. That was the Gemara of this Krisis Bris. Moshe Rabbeinu keeps on warning, the Baruch Shalom keeps on warning about worshipping Avodah Zarah. Years ago, there was a tremendous Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. We don't understand it. You take sticks and stones and you make a deity of it and you bow down to it. Why should it have any power? We don't understand it. The Gemara in the last Perek in Sanhedrin, Perek Chelek, tells that one of the Amoraim was giving a shiur to the students on Tanakh. He was talking about the Malchi Yisrael who worshipped Avodah Zarah, and he was condemning them. So that night he had a dream. One of those Malachim whom he was condemning came to him in a dream, and he started talking to him and learning. He asked him, when you say Hamoitzi, which part of the challah do you eat first? He didn't know, so he tells him, you eat from the crust. And then he says, if you're so learned, you know things that I don't know, so how come you worship Avodah Zarah? That's in the dream. The Talmid Chacham asks the Melech. So he says, if you would have lived at in my generation, you would have picked up your kapota, you would have run also to worship Avodah Zarah. There was such a tremendous drive to worship Avodah Zarah. There was a Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah at the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period. The Gemara has a tradition, Anshei Knesset Hagdola, Daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they were mevatel Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. And they saw that their prayers were accepted, so they decided to push their luck further. So they prayed to Ribbono Shel Olam, Mishi mevatel Yetzirah of Gilui Arayos, the Yetzirah of that desire. So their prayers were answered, and no one wanted to be with their wives. Everyone, the chickens didn't lay any eggs. The animals weren't reproducing. They succeeded. Their prayers were accepted so well. No one was, not only Arayos, the whole sex urge was bottled. So they prayed to Ribbono Shel Olam to turn it back, that we need. The world is going to come to an end if you don't have such a desire. The birds and the beasts are crucial for Kiyum Ha'olam. So the Gemara says at least the tefillos helped a little bit, that even though people have a desire for Eishes Ish, but the desire for relatives is much less than it used to be before. Zechariah, Rashi writes in his commentary on Zechariah, Chagas Char Malachi with the last three Nevi'im. So Rashi writes in the beginning of Nevuah Zechariah, it's the most obscure Sefer. Without a tradition, you don't understand what in the world is going on there. So in the beginning of Sefer, Nevuah Zechariah, it's not a Sefer. Treyosa is a whole Sefer together. So Zechariah is one section in Treyosa. I was once at a bas mitzvah, so the girl made a siyam on Yoina. Yoina is not a Sefer. Yoina is one part of Treyosa. She didn't finish the other 11. Maybe her name was Yoina. I forgot already why she made her. It's probably the shortest. Yoina shorter than Ruth. I don't remember already. Anyway. Avadya shorter. Yeah. So so Rashi writes that Zechariah is the most obscure Novi. If you don't have a tradition, you don't know what he's talking about. So in the beginning of Zechariah, he talks about trapping this evil being. No one knows what it's talking about. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, that's referring to the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period, succeeded in being mevatel Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. So today there's much less, unfortunately, there's still a Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. A lot of Jewish men who serve in the Israeli army later on go to Far East and they worship Avodah Zarah. It's wild. But the big thrust for Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah ended already. So Moshe Rabbeinu is warning the people again and again, many times over, not to worship Avodah Zarah. Then the Torah promises, HaTorah Hefticha, so Shofam Shal Yisrael Lasas Tshuva. That's how the Rambam writes in Hilchas Tshuva. The Torah promises that ultimately the Jewish people will do Tshuva. How can the Torah promise Shofam Shal Yisrael Lasas Tshuva? We have Bechira Chavshis, keeps on repeating. The Torah keeps on saying that there is such a thing as Bechira Chavshis. Many of the psychologists today deny it. I remember there was once a book review in the New York Times Sunday section where they have all the book reviews. So they reviewed a book on psychology where the author denies completely Bechira Chavshis. No such thing as Bechira Chavshis. When every baby is born, most of the psychologists deny Bechira Chavshis. When every baby is born, there's already a chip in his mind and all the decisions are made already. What type of a girl is going to marry and what type of a job is going to take and where he's going to live. All the decisions are made. No such thing as Bechira Chavshis. That's apikursis. That's the ABC of our religion, is that there is Bechira Chavshis. So the author of the book had certain kashas. If there's no Bechira Chavshis, absolutely no Bechira Chavshis, how come this, how come that, how come the other thing? So someone sent in a letter to the editor. Maybe there is Bechira Chavshis. Lo bo b'cheshbon at all. Lo bo b'cheshbon at all. That's the ABC of our religion. There is such a thing as b'chira chavshis. So that's why the Rambam says, if there weren't any b'chira chavshis, you wouldn't be responsible. You wouldn't get schar v'onesh. You wouldn't deserve any reward for doing mitzvahs. So you wouldn't deserve any punishment for doing averis. And it wouldn't be possible to do tshuva. If that's the way the chip in your mind goes, so what should I have to do tshuva if there's no b'chira chavshis? So that's why the Rambam talks about this ikar and amuna, b'chira chavshis and hilchas tshuva. So how can it be that HaTorah Ptichah Shesofim Shalisol Asas Tshuva, if everybody has Bechir Chavsh, maybe we'll choose never to do Tshuva? How can it be that this was foreseen in advance, that ultimately the Jewish people will do Tshuva? So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik used to, every year he used to give a big drosha in Aseres Yemei Tshuva. He used to call it the Kinus Tshuva. At that time he was the only one who gave in New York. He was the only one. In Europe it was a common practice. The Rabbanim would hold major droshas on Aseres Yemei Tshuva. But in America, I don't know, it was lost. And after he discontinued, then everybody and your uncle started giving a Kinnis Tshuva. Now everybody gives, in Flatbush, in the Borough Park, and in Queens, everybody gives a Kinnis Tshuva. So he used to give knockout drushes, wonderful drushes. So this is one of the themes that he spoke about. How can the Rambam say, based on today's parshas, Hiptar Hatar Hiptichah, so Shofim Shal Yisrael Asas Tshuva, if there's Bechira Chavshis, maybe we'll decide never to do Tshuva. So he spoke a lot about what the Baal HaTanya calls the Ahava HaMesuteris. Every Jewish person has implanted within his heart a hidden love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ahava HaMesuteris. It's Ahava HaGluya. Some people really demonstrate that they love it. You can tell where they do mitzvahs that they really love Torah, they love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And other people who are far from religious observance, far from being observant, but still they have an Ahava HaMesuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why should we assume that every Jewish person has an Ahava HaMesuteris? So the Baal HaTanya writes, because the Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTorah Kula before the baby is born, the baby boys, baby girls, everybody learns Kol HaTorah Kula. Then the Malach slaps his cheek and he makes him forget everything. So why does he engage in such an act of futility to teach him the Torah in the first place? It's going to cause him to forget everything. So obviously he must assume that something does remain. So what remains? So the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains. The only way Rashi writes in his commentary on Kriya Shema, after Hashem Malkecha b'chol avofcha, Rashi quotes from the Tanoi, from the Sifrei, how does one develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'ayu ha'dvarim ha'el sh'anechem tzav chayom, ha'lo avecha, by learning the Torah. That's how you develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Torah is a description of Elokus. Torah is a moshal ha'kadmoni, v'shol ha'shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shehu kadmonu shal oilam. So let's say a person has b'chira chavshis, he can do a stupid thing, he can stand on his head. How long can you stand on your head? 3 hours. 24 hours. Ultimately, you're going to fall down. You can't stand on your head forever. People do stupid things. Jewish people do averis. A Jewish person doesn't have averis. It's ridiculous. It doesn't fit with his neshama. It doesn't fit with his personality. So the Torah promises, HaTorah Hefticha, so Sofim Shal Yisrael Asas Tshuva, if you do stupid shtick, there's only so long that you do stupid shtick, then you go back to be your true self. This is all a false. That's how the Rambam writes. When a person does averis, this is a pseudo-personality. It's a false personality. It's not his real self. His real self is that he wants to do the mitzvahs. The Rambam quotes the Mishnah in Erechah and Daf Chof. The Mishnah says that sometimes the Bezin forces a husband to give his wife a get. On a certain case, they beat him up till he gives a get. So the Gemara raises the question, how is it good? The get has to be given midaito, out of his own free will. You need more das for a get than you need for kiddushin. You need more das for kiddushin than you need for mekach hamemka. Different levels of das. A get is the highest level of das. How does it help if the bezin forces him? So the Rambam quotes the Gemara. It's a problem why the Rambam quoted that Gemara. But the Rambam, you should have passed in a different way. But the Rambam quotes the Gemara that every Jewish person really wants to do avodas Hashem. Every Jew has a hidden love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when he says he doesn't want to give his wife a get, he doesn't want to listen to the rabbis, that's not his real self. And when they beat him up and he finally says, Rotz Ani, his true Ani is speaking then. He really wants to do what the Chachamim tell him. Every Jewish person wants to do mitzvahs. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik is. How can it be? HaTorah Hevticha. So Shofim Shal Yisrael Asas Tshuva, we have Bechira Chavshis. And he says, yeah, you have Bechira Chavshis to do stupid things, to do others. But it doesn't fit with our personality. It doesn't fit with the Jewish people. So how many generations can you be an Oved Avodah Zarah? Ultimately, you're going to have to come back to the Torah. It just doesn't fit. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, we'll all do tshuva. And then V'shavosh Amakecha Shivuscha B'rich Amecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, Shivas Tzion. We say in his Miras on Shabbos, Yoshev Elay Nemek Ki'im V'shav. It doesn't say that God will bring the Jewish people back. It says He will return to Eretz Yisrael. It means that Kol Zman that we are in Golus, the Shechina is in Golus also. There's a concept of Golus HaShechina. What is the Golus HaShechina all about? Imoy Anoche B'tzora. Rabbi Shalom wants to suffer along with the Jewish people. That's how the Medrash says, why did Hashem appear to Moshe Rabbeinu mitoch hasneh? A snare is a thorn bush. Why a thorn bush? A low thorn bush, why not from a high tree? Because Imoy Anoche B'tzora, he wanted to demonstrate that he's suffering along with the Jewish people. The Chidoa quotes from the Kubalim, another Kavana, the Gemara says in the second parak in Makkos, Hasol Adinim of Golus, or Imiklot, the Gemara says, V'nosa lachas olam ha'el v'choi, the one who is Retzeach B'shegik should run to the Ori Miklot, one of the six Ori Miklot, v'choi. So v'choi means he should have a decent life over there. The Gemara says, in the Ori Miklot, you have to have theaters, and you have to have drugstores, and you have to have hospitals, and it was a regular city. It wasn't just for Hargi Meshogi. You have to have libraries, you have to have entertainment. It has to be comfortable for the Retzeach. V'choi, he should enjoy living there. And then the Gemara says, if the fellow who killed B'shegeg is a Talmud of a certain Rebbe, he enjoys listening to the Shiurim. And years ago, they didn't have online. They couldn't listen to the Shiur online. So the Rebbe has to go visit the Talmud to give Shurim there and the Ori Miklot also. Because it says B'choi, he should enjoy living over there. And for a person who enjoys learning, he won't be able to learn. That's like he's half dead. That's the Rama Mazan. It's not called B'choi. So because it's a din, Talmud Shagola, Maglin, Rabbi Imoy, so that's what the Chidor quotes, that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam also goes into Golos. He's our Rebbe. He wants us to be comfortable. When the Jews went into Golos, the Jews were always doing very well. Jews in America are doing very well. The Jews in Europe, till the Nazis killed everybody, every so often there would be a pogrom, there would be anti-Semitism, they would kill a lot of Jews. But the Jews were always doing very well. They always made a lot of money. And in Spain, before they chased the Jews out, before they had the Inquisition, the Jews were in the government positions. The Jews were always very high position. They were always doing very well. That's the Golas HaShechina. The Shechina was in Golas with the Jewish people to help us that the life in the Golas shouldn't be so miserable. Baruch Hashem wants to punish us, but not such a big punishment. We suffer in Golas, but we don't suffer so much. Everybody's doing pretty well. Everyone's doing very well. So that's the concept. Yoshev Elay Nemek Ki'im V'shav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to return with the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael. And then it says, V'hitivcha b'hirbucha me'abaisechem. And we will return back to Eretz Yisrael after the 70 years of Golas Bavel. So the Rishalmi comments based on this pasuk. Gaviyach Hashem lakech l'aretz asher Yoshev abaisechem v'yirishto. V'hitivcha b'hirbucha me'abaisechem. In what sense? Why was it better? The Bia Shnia was better than the Bia Rishayna. The Bia Rishayna in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. We had on the Gemara and Dav Dalet. And the Bia Shnia was in the days of Ezra Nehemiah, after the 70 years of Golas Bavel. What way was it better? Your ancestors, when they came into Eretz, the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, it took 14 years till they completed the Kedusha Sa'aretz. It took 7 years, Shevesh Kavshu, that says in Tanakh, in Yeshua, and Shevesh Chilku, that's a tradition. The Gemara has an oral tradition. So until the 15th year, there wasn't a full Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. They were Chayim Chala right away. Bevayachem al Haaretz. Says when you get the Chala Bevayachem, as you come in right away. But all the other mitzvahs, Trumas and Maisa, Shemitah, the Ovelek, and Shikhope, that only began in the 15th year. And the first Shemitah was year 21, because the first 14 years didn't count. And the first Yovel was year 64, because the first 14 years didn't count. It didn't have Kedushas Sa'aretz yet. So Abusechem lein eschayv ubetshumas amaisas adlach yudal shonim. Veitivcha behir b'cha me'avasecha atem miyad kishenechnastem nischayavtem. When they returned back to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, they became mechuyev in shumas amaisas right away. The Mikdash of Eretz Yisrael the second time around was not kibush. The first time you needed kibush. So there were Lamed Aleph Malachim in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a central location. It connects Europe, Asia, and Africa. So it was always crucial. Eretz Yisrael was always, whoever has control of Eretz Yisrael is going to have control over other areas. The Nazis wanted to, when they started to come to Eretz Yisrael, that's when they started to lose the war. But they wanted to control Eretz Yisrael, to control all the three continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa. So it took 7 full years to be Koivish Eretz Yisrael on the Lamed Aleph Malachim, and then the Chalukah was the Gemar HaKibush. But the Mikdash the first time around was the Kibush Rabim, was Mikdash Eretz Yisrael. The second time around there was no Kibush. There was no Jewish control of the government until the days of the Chashmonaim. That was deep into the Bais Sheni period. Gemara says it was a little over 200 years before the end of the Bais Sheni period. The Hashemanoim conquered the land and they established a Jewish government. But for the first several centuries, there was no kibush at all. And nonetheless, they were neschayvu b'mitzvahs in the Bais Sheni. They were chayv and there was a kedushas haaretz min ha-Torah. They were neschayvu mitzvahs. So that's what the Yerushalmi learns. Ve'etivcho v'hirbucho mi'avesecho. Avasechem in the Bir Rishon in the days of Yishuv ben Nun on Eschayvu, they weren't obligated to fulfill the mitzvahs till after Yudal Shonim Kibush Bechiluk. And Atem Miyad Kishenechnastem Ischayavtem. Why? So the Rambam coins an expression. He says the Mikdash the first time around was Kibush. Mikdash the second time around was Chazokah. Chazokah just means they moved back to Eretz Yisrael. They returned back to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Zalman and his Sefer Eben Ozel on the Rambam understood the Rambam to mean chazok, a kinyan chazok, like a kone karka, bekesef, or bishtaru. But chazok, he thought that it meant chazok. So Rabbi Shlomo Gorin once gave a shir in Rabbi Soloveitchik's classroom. He was visiting. He was not a chief rabbi at that time. It was after the Sinai campaign. He was the chief chaplain in the army, but he wasn't a chief rabbi at that time. So he was assuming, like Abisa Zalman, that when the Rambam says the Mikdash of Eretz the second time around was Chazak and meant Kinyan Chazak. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was there, so he disagreed with him. He said, it doesn't mean Chazak, it doesn't mean Kinyan Chazak, but a lot learned like that. So the Rambam says it's a different Mikdash. That's why the Rambam writes the Kedusha Bishayna was Batla, because Kedusha Bishayna rested on the fact that there was a Kibush. So at the time of Churban Bais Rishon, the kibush was undone. So it's like yanking out the rug from under your feet. So the whole Kedushas Haaretz was batla during the 70 years of Golas Babel. There was no Kedushas Haaretz. But the Kedushas Shnei was, we assume, was Kitchelos Yilav, Machlokes Satan, right? We paskin most Rishonim assume. Most Rishonim assume that the Kedushas Shnei was Kitchelos Yilav. The Bir Agro and Shin Lamed Aleph and Yerodei quotes from the Sefer HaTruma. The Sefer HaTruma is one of the Balei HaTosfos. Rabbeinu Baruch wrote the Sefer HaTruma. So it reads like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So even there he has an original Chiddush that Tosfos will quote. Sometimes they don't quote. So the Sefer HaTruma writes like that. He's of the opinion that Kedusha Shnei was also Batla. At the time of Churban Bais Sheni, he said the Kedusha Shnei was Batla. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. It's usually assumed that the Kedusha Shnei was Kitzur Losei Lova. Why? So the Rambam explains, in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, why should the Kedusha Shnei be more powerful than the Kedusha Rishayna? So he says, based on this pasuk, Ve'tivcha v'hirbacha me'avesecha, the Kedusha Rishayna was based on kibbutz. So when the kibbutz was undone at the time of Churban Bais Rishon, so the whole Kedusha disappeared. But the Kedusha Shnei was not based on kibbutz at all. It was based on chazokah. So the Kedusha Shnei was kitchul osilov. It remained. That's Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik explained. The Gemara has a whole discussion in the first parak in Gittin, and later in Gittin, the end of parak HaShaleach, the Gemara discusses what is the status of Surya. Dovah HaMelech was Kovish Aram Tzova, that's what we call Surya. So that was only a Kibush Yochid. So Gemara has a Machloikin Satanayim, where the Kibush Yochid, Shmei Kibush, Alav Shmei Kibush. In the days of Dovah HaMelech, where they Mechuyib Min HaTorah, and Trumas and Maestris in Surya, was it only Midirabbanan. But the Tanoim's argument is not only in the days of David HaMelech. The Gemara has a machlokes halacha l'maisa b'tkufas haTanoim, whether the chi of Trumas and Maisis in Surya is deraisa derabbanan. So Rabbi Chaim asked the question, whatever was is ancient history. All of Eretz Yisrael had a Kedusha from the days of Yishuv ben Nun. Everything was wiped out in the time of Churban Bais Rishon. So then when they came back in the beginning of the Baisheni, they tivcha, they herbucha, and they moved back to all the places, so they'll mekadosh everything again. So when you're discussing Surya, you shouldn't discuss ancient history. Kibush Yochid, was it Shmei Kibush, Lav Shmei Kibush? Forget about that, it's irrelevant. Whatever it was, is ancient history, is in this battle. They should discuss that the Jews moved back into Syria or not. So if they moved back into Syria, has Kedusha their rights. If they didn't move back, does not. Why does the Gemara always hack about whether Kedusha was Shaina? Whether in the days of David HaMelech, it was a Kibush Yochid, whether Shmei Kibush. So Rab Chaim explained that this halacha, that you can reawaken Kedusha by just having Chazaka, you don't need a Kibush, that's only those areas in Eretz Yisrael that had a Kedusha Rishayna. If it had a Kedusha Rishayna, I'd say Kibush, and the Kedusha I'd say Kibush was batal because the Goyim took it away from us, they pulled out the rug from under our feet. There's no longer any Kibush. So then you can reawaken the Kedusha. The Kedusha is latent, so you can reawaken the Kedusha by doing Chazaka, moving it. So the Gemara is assuming that the Jews did move back into Syria. But the Shaila is, did it ever have Kedusha Deraisa in the first place? If it never had a Kedusha Deraisa in the first place, then you can't reawaken, it doesn't have any latent Kedusha that you can reawaken by just moving back. In the beginning of the Baisheni period, there was no Kibush at all. The Chashmonai made a Kibush later, but they didn't make a Kibush on Syria. Made on the middle of Eretz, they didn't make on Syria. That's the pasuk. That's what the Yerushalmi says. Avasechem lo nischaibu b'trumas ha'maisas alach yudah v'shonim atem miyad kishenichnastem nischaivtem. He became obligated right away because it was a different mikdash. Then the Torah tells the ki ha'mitzvah zos ha'shonechem mitzavcha hayom. The mitzvah that I'm giving to you today, you shouldn't think that it's a difficult mitzvah. Lo b'shamayim heli, lo me'eva layam. Kor b'elach adov miyod b'ficho uvilvavcha la'asosa. What mitzvah are we talking about over here? So the Rambam quotes this parsha b'negeir to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Lo niflesim emcho, it's not so difficult to learn Torah. Lo b'shamayim he, it's not supernatural. It's not so difficult. Don't think the Torah is in Europe or in Eretz Yisrael. The Torah is right over here in America. You have yeshivas in America. So the Brisker Rav adds on, maybe this is a reference to Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. The Torah Shebichsav is b'ficho. You pronounce the psukim with your lips. The Bala Tanya writes in Hilchas Talmud Torah, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote his own Shulchan Aruch. So most of the Shulchan Aruch Harab, he's called, most of the Shulchan Aruch is like a chayodim. He takes a chachmasot and takes what he said in the big Shulchan Aruch, and he gives you the kitzur, and he makes a hachra on the Taz and the Magen Avraham, the Taz and the Shach. He gives a hachra, except for Hilchas Talmud Torah. Hilchas Talmud Torah, you look in the Rambam, is all backwards, and you look in Shulchan Aruch, is a hodgepodge. So you had to rewrite Hilchas Talmud Torah from scratch. That's the best part of the Shulchan Aruch Harab, Hilchas Talmud Torah. He wrote everything anew. So he points out one of the many things that he has an original chiddush is, he says if a person is reciting Tanakh, he's reciting Chumash, he's saying Tilim, and he doesn't understand what the words are, doesn't understand the meaning, but he's reciting a text from Tanakh. So that's a kima mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If he does understand, it's a deeper kima mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but even if he doesn't understand, it has value. But if a person is going to recite Mishnayos, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's going to say Gemara, doesn't understand a Zohar, then there's no mitzvah at all. The Iker of Torah Shebal Peh is the Havana, Bilvavcha. Torah Shebichzav is Beficha. And Torah Shebal Peh is Bilvavcha. You have to understand what you're saying. So the Rambam understands, Ki HaMitzvah Zos, the Rambam quotes these psukim. Lo b'shamayim hi, lo me'eva layam hi. You shouldn't think that Torah is in Europe, Torah is in Eretz Yisrael. Torah is right over here. Beficha, Bilvavcha, Lasoso. Goes on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Other Rishonim say that it goes on the mitzvah of tshuva. Ramban talks about the mitzvah of tshuva because he mentioned before, v'shavto ad Hashem alakech v'shamata b'kola ha'teref ticha tzashofim shal Yisrael ha'ases tshuva. That was the previous section in the Chumash. Right after that he says, ha'mitzvah v'sal shanechem tzav chayom, this mitzvah of tshuva, not so difficult. Not so difficult to do tshuva. Even if a person is a balavera, he can always pull himself out, can always do tshuva. It's interesting, the Rambam writes the Ikar of Bechira Chavshis, Torah keeps on repeating that we subscribe to the concept of Bechira Chofshes. We believe there is Bechira Chofshes, and we have to choose the right path. And that's why there's Chav Yonish, and that's why it's possible to do tshuva and so on. So the we usually talk about Bechira Chofshes. You have freedom of choice. The Rambam, when he writes the Ikra Bechira Chofshes, Uchas Tshuva, he starts off that perek Rishus Nesun Olacholodim. Rishus. Why doesn't he call it Bechira Chofshes? Why does he call it Rishus? It's a strange lotion. So Rav Soloveitchik, one of his many drushes that he gave in Aseres Meitshuva, so he said, Bechira means like in Eretz Yisrael when they have the election, so it's called the Bechirot. What do you mean Bechirot? They give you a list of candidates and they say, choose which candidate you want. Rishus means you have the ability to choose a choice that was never given to you. Let's say the parents give me the choice, should I go to Yale or to Harvard? I say, I want to go to Yeshiva University. Not Yale and not Harvard. My parents want me to be an Obed Avodah Zarah. And I say, no, I want to be Avzar. I want to be religious. I want to be Jewish. I don't want to be an Obed Avodah Zarah. It's a choice that was never given to me. So the Rambam wants you to know that not only is there Bechira Chofshes, if you have a choice, the parents give you a choice, or the society gives you a choice, you have the ability to choose. Even Rishus Nesun Olacholot. You have the ability to choose an option that was never given to you. People have, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created the world Yesh Me'ayin. He had no bug in his head. It's not that if you would be God, you would also have a desire to create a world. It's total. The Rabbanu Shalom had total Bechira Chofshes. There was nothing pressuring him to create a world. So too, there's nothing pressuring us to make any decision that we make. That's what it means. Man was created, but Tzalem Elokim, that we have Bechira Chofshes. That's how the Meshech Chachma quotes from the Beis Elokim, from the Mekubalim like that. Beis Elokim is the Mabit. And the Mekubalim say like that, that Tzalem Elokim means Bechira Chofshes. So that's why the Rambam used the Lashon Rishus, L'chol Adam Nesuno. You have the ability to choose an option that was never given to you. The society gives you a choice of either being or this or that. You can choose not to be any of the above. Choose to be Hashem and Mitzvah, sunshine. So these are the two interpretations. Zamitar HaMitzvah is referring to all the mitzvahs of Torah, all the Taryag mitzvahs. But the Rambam learns that he goes on mitzvahs Talmud Torah, and the Ramban learns that he goes on mitzvahs on Tshuva, and others say he goes on all the mitzvahs. Then he repeats again, Rei Nasata Lefenecha Yam Sachai Mesatoiv, V'samobes V'shara. We have Bechira Chofshes. We should be careful not to worship Avodah Zarah. Again, there used to be such a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Uvacharta v'chayim. This is our choice, Uvacharta v'chayim. There's a Sefer Charedim that was written in the 1500s by one of the Sfaradish Gedolim. The cutoff point, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, in the name of his father, Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, the cutoff point between Rishonim and Achronim, he thought was different by Sfardim than from Ashkenazim. He thought Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Ramah were contemporaries, but he thought Rabbi Yosef Karo was a Rishon, and the Ramah was an Achron. That by the Sfardim, the period of the Rishonim extended further. So the the Sefer Charedim was also around that period, I think. So he has Sefer Charedim, it's like a Sefer HaMitzvahs. He lists off all the mitzvahs, but he divides the mitzvahs not like the Sefer HaChinuch in the order that they appear in the Chumash, and not like the Rambam and the Sefer, and no one knows exactly what Seder the Rambam had. He starts off by giving the more important mitzvahs, and he's going down in descending order, but then we're not sure exactly what the system is, but the Sefer Charedim lists off the mitzvahs on the different organs of the body. Which mitzvahs do you fulfill with your hands, with your feet, with your mind, and so on?
Is there enough communion between whether one was Rishon or whether one was Achron?
Not really. Achronim disagree with Rishonim also. Not really. Lachamai says there's no enough communion. Anyway, so the Sefer Haredim says that there's a mitzvah of Acharta V'chaim is the mitzvah of Sofik Deraisa L'chumra. When you're given a choice, it's a Sofik Issa, Sofik Heta, or Bacharta V'chaim, choose L'chumra, you should go L'chumra. That's on the assumption that Sofik Deraisa L'chumra is a Din Deraisa. The Rambam and the Raibit hold that Sofik Deraisa L'chumra is only Midirabban. And also on the assumption, the Mesillas Yesharim assumes that Sofik Deraisa L'chumra was like eating poison. He says, he's assuming that all Isurei Torah are Isurei Cheftza, that Macholas Hasuris has a negative effect on your soul, even if you eat it b'shegek. That's why you need a kapar, because it's going to have, like if you take poison b'shegek, you're still going to die, you're still going to get sick. So he says, so the Mesillas and Sharm writes, if anything's in Suffolk, there I say, of course you can't do it. You don't want to have the negative effect on your soul. So Reb Shimon Shkop holds that so. And the Shari Yosha, Reb Shimon Shkop assumes that, like the Rambam, the Iker Adin, Suffolk, the Raisa, really, Mitzad the Yisra Chazer, Mitzad the Yisra Chelev should really be Mutter. It's a new din, but he doesn't know where there's a Pasuk like that. So the Sefer Harenim says, this is the Pasuk. Sefer Harenim assumes like Reb Shimon Shkop. The Suffolk, the Raisa, Luchum, is not because it may be poison, because of the Yisra of Chelev, or the Yisra of Chazer. No, it's a new mitzvah. Uvacharta v'chaim. Uvacharta v'chaim. Then you have the mitzvah Avos Hashem and Dveikos Hashem. These are difficult mitzvahs to observe. Okay. Vayelech begins with Moshe Rabbeinu. Says, "B'mei b'yesem shana nerchei hayom v'lo chalod latzeis v'lavo." Why? He can't walk. He's an old man, 120, he can't walk. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara. No, he was very strong. And when he was climbing up, when he climbed up, he was skipping steps. He was jumping up. He was like a youngster. So why? The Rebbe Shlom said, it's time for Yeshua ben Nun to take over. That's how the Gemara says. Gemara Yuma has, the Chazanish wrote a Sefer Amuna Bitochon. He never finished the Sefer, so he didn't print it during his lifetime. So after he passed away, the family had a suffix whether they should print it or not. So they decided that the incomplete Sefer of the Chazanish is more valuable than complete Svarim by other people. So they printed the incomplete Sefer. It's a very beautiful Sefer. He had his own style Hebrew. Totally made up, like Rav Soloveitchik, made up his own style of Hebrew. Like Rav Kook also has a very complicated, totally different style even. So the Chazanish has a different style. So the theme of the Chazanish is Sefer Amunah Bitochen is a passage in the Gemara in Yuma that one of the Tanaim says that Bishimcha Yikorucha Bemkomcha Yoshivucha Mishaloch Yitnoloch, that in heaven they have file cabinets, they have a filing system, they have everybody's name, and Bishimcha Yikorucha, they give you what you deserve. If someone else got the job, I shouldn't be envious of him. I shouldn't feel like he stole the job. If someone else got the girl, I wanted to marry that girl and someone else married the girl. The girl was for him. It wasn't for me. I shouldn't think that if not for him, I would have been a happier person. I would have had more parnasa. I would have had more covet. It's not true. It's not true. They give everybody what they deserve. You can't take touch what belongs to someone else. He says this is what we believe emuna, and bitochen doesn't mean. He says bitochen doesn't mean that a person is deathly sick, is dying from cancer. Shab bitochen that he's going to survive. That's ridiculous. Why is he going to survive? Most of the cancer patients do not survive. That's bitochen shel shtus. There's no bitochon, just means that you lead your life according to this emuna that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch is in full control of the world. And if he wants me to live, I'll live. And if he wants me to die, I'll die. And I should act accordingly. But it doesn't mean at all that you should always think that everything is going to turn out for the best. It's not necessarily so. Who says it's going to turn out for the best? So that's what it says over here. Lucha lo lotzuzla. HaKadosh Baruch told me that it's time for Yeshua ben Nun to take over. I'm not allowed to continue to be the leader of the Jewish people. So he's told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu he has to appoint Yeshua ben Nun, so which he does. Ve'ikra Moshe Yeshua, le'eni kol Yisrael, and he appoints a chazak ha'emotz, and he says, ki ato tovu esa'om azeh el ha'oretz. And then he says later, ki ato tovi esa'om azeh. Later in the parasha it says, ki ato tovi. So the Gemara in the first parak here in Pasuk Chav Gimel, so on the first parak in Sanhedrin, around Dav Zayin, Dav Ches, so the Gemara points out the discrepancy. Here it says Tavoy, here it says Tavi. So the Gemara says, Tavi means you are going to be the leader, you take them, you lead them, Balkorchem. Tavoy Esam, you means you'll go together with them. You go together with them. So which is it? Is it Tavi or is it Tavoy? So that's what I think the Brisker Rav in the Sefer HaChumash explains. When it comes to Hanhoge, so the Gemara says, Dabar Echad Lador, Ben Shnei Dabarim Lador. You need one person has to be the leader. Someone has to take responsibility to make all the final decisions. Yeshua Ben Nun is the Melech. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Melech. Moshe Rabbeinu died. Yeshua Ben Nun is the Melech. And he has to make all the final decisions. Atot Tavi is Bnei Yisrael. But when it comes to paskening Hashanah, Atot Tavoy Asom, you should discuss with the Sanhedrin, discuss with the Rabbanim, and go Basar right. You should. Some things you have to act like a manig and take a firm stand and make a decision. And other things you work out together with everybody else. The Medrash has a famous comment. The Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu completed writing the Sefer Torah. Vayikach alas Moshe lichtav es kol divrei HaTorah hazos al Sefer ad tumam. And then it says that he gave it to Kohanim Bnei Levi. Where is it? Well, kol ziknei Yisrael. He gave the Sefer Torah that he completed writing. He gave it to the Levim. Kohanim and a Levi, and he says, Samta Moshe b'tzaram ram b'sashem b'hoi Hashem b'chol yed. They should put it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Gemara and Bava Basra in the first parak has, they didn't see the Oren. The Oren was Nignas at the end of the Bais Rishon period. So no one ever, the Tanoim never saw the time from the Bais Shani, they never saw the Oren. It was Nignas for so many years before, centuries before. The Gemara wasn't sure whether the Sefer Torah Shekhas of Moshe was in the Oren or was on a shelf on the outside of the Oren. But it was somewhere in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, some must have been mitzad Aron Bris Hashem, on the side, either in or outside on the outside. Originally, in the days of Maimon HaSinai, there was a Sefer HaBris. There was the Geirus of all of Klal Yisrael. So for the purpose of the Geirus of the Tzibur, you had to read from a Sefer HaBris. So the Sefer Abris, at that time, it says in Mishpat, Moshe Rabbeinu read from the Sefer Abris. And Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, what is the Sefer Abris? From Bereshis till Maimon HaSinai, till Yisrael. That's the Sefer Abris. But then the 40 years in the Midbar, Moshe Rabbeinu was given all the Taryag Mitzvah, much more. So he says now, he writes the Torah Ad Tumam, he finishes writing the whole Torah, and he gives it to the Kohanim and Levim. From now on, this is the Sefer Abris. It's no longer the Sefer Abris in the time of Maimon HaSinai. It was only from Bereshis till the end of Yisro. And now the whole thing is called the Sefer Abris. So the Medrash has a comment that in addition to the Sefer Torah, the single Sefer Torah that he gave to the Kohanim Bnei Levi, here in Pasuk Tes, Vayichta Moshe is HaTorah Zos Vayitino El HaKohanim Bnei Levi Hanosim Es Aron Bris Hashem Vel Kol Ziknei Yisrael. What's Vel Kol Ziknei Yisrael? The Kohanim go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they put it there V'samta Moshe B'tzad Aron Bris Hashem V'chei Shom B'chol Yeid. What did he give to the Ziknei Yisrael? So that's what the Chazal have a tradition that in addition to that Sefer Torah, he wrote another 12 Sefer Torah that he gave to each one of the Shvatim. Where'd they get this idea? So the Mepharshim and the Medrash say that if you count up, one of the Midrash HaTorah and the Rashi Spam is, you count up how many times a word appears in Chumash. One Tana is of the opinion that the idea that there are Lamites of its Malachas, because you take from Bereshis till the end of Le'enei Kol Yisrael, the word Malacha, Malachta, Malachas appears 39 times. The problem is it appears many more than 39 times. So the different Shitas and Rishonim, which ones you do count, which ones you don't count. But the Gemara considers that it's not an asmachta. One Tana says that is the drasha. Or it says, how many matonis do you give by a korban chatos? So the Gemara says, it says, karnos, karnos, karnas. You add up how many times it says the word keren on the mizbech. Four lechatchila and one leakabidiyevet, a two leakabidiyevet. Machlokes besham and besil. You add up how many times the word appears. Or basukas, basukas, basukas. So you add up how many times does the word sukkah appear, and that establishes how many defanas you need on the sukkah. Do you need 2.5 or you need 3.5? Machlokes hatanaim. We pass in shtaim kel chosam. If they're at a right angle to each other, that's called kel chosam. Ushlisha safilu tefil. So there is, this is one of the midrash shatar in the Dreshes Mem. I would have thought that it's like a balaturim, just a remez. Chsidish a remez or something. But the Tanoim held that so. Tanoim held that this is a legitimate midrash shatar in the Dreshes Mem. How many times the word appears? So the Meforshim and the Medrash say, where did the Medrash get this idea from? That in addition to the Sefer Torah that he gave Shevet Levi, that they put there were another 12 svarim that were given to the heads of the Shvat. So I would have thought perhaps based on Pasuk Tes, where does Zikna Yisrael come in? So Kol Zikna Yisrael maybe refers to the other Sefer Torah. So the Mefarshim and the Medrash say differently. They say that the word Sefer appears over here 12 times. So the Medrash is adding it up. The Medrash doesn't explain where they got it from, that he wrote 12 Sar. You add up all the times that the word Sefer appears. It appears in this parasha, it appears 12 times. So they assume that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 12 Sar. The Sefer that he put in the Azara, that's called Sefer Azara. The one that's in the, it's not in the Azara, it's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It would appear that the Sefer Azara has a special status. The Yalkut Shemoni has a comment on this pasuk. So the Alkut Shemoni has a lotion that Moshe Rabbeinu knows he was taught by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He tells me so. Ki anochi yadati. I know that you're going to worship Avodah Zarah after I die. How did he know it? Because the Rebbeinu Shlom told him. In Kovei Yamecha Lamus and told Moshe Rabbeinu they're going to worship Avodah Zarah. So Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned, that's how it says in the Alkut Shemoneh, that they're going to forge the text of the Sefer Torah. They're going to change the text of the Sefer Torah to say something other than what it's supposed to say. So he gave the Kohanim and Levi the official text, that's the Sefer Azor. So whenever you have a suffix, what the correct reading should be, you check with the Sefer Azor. There's a Sifrei on the Pasuk later, Ma'ono Lekei Kedem, that's in Mezois HaBrocha, Ma'ono Lekei Kedem. So the Sifrei says that there was a suffix whether the reading, the correct reading is Ma'on or Ma'ona. Many Sifrei Torah had Ma'on, many had Ma'ona. So they looked in the Azara. At that time there were three Svarim in the Azara. So they checked in the Azara. So the three Svarim, there was a contradiction. There was a discrepancy there too. So two of them said Ma'ona, and one of them said Ma'on. They decided to go by the Roiv. So since the Roiv said Ma'ona, we assume that's the correct reading. So I was going to let you guess why the B'mikre, there happened to be three Svarim in the Azara. But why didn't they check all the Svarim in the world to go Basarav? Why decide only to go Basarav in the Svarim and the Azara? So he said, apparently the Halacha says that the Sefer Azara is for the purpose of preserving the correct text of the Chumash. Only Sefer Azara. So at that time there were three Sefer Azara. So you go Basar the Din of Sefer Azara. Does it have? That's how the Alkut Shemoni says. Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned maybe in the future there'll be Mizayif, they'll change the text of the Sefer Torah. So that's why he told the Kohanim B'nei Levi they should put it B'tzad Aram B'yis Hashem. But any other Sefer that's copied from the Sefer Azor also had the status of a Sefer Azor. Does it have any other special dinim? This is the only din that it has to preserve the accurate text of the Sefer Torah. The Tosfos in the first parak in Bava Basra, and the Gemara talks about the Tanakh, the order of the Sefer Tanakh. So Tosfos on Adaf quotes a Rashi from a different Masechta, maybe from Yuma, I don't remember. I don't know if we have that Rashi either. So Tosfos quotes in the name of Rashi that it could be that Parshas Hakel, they have to lay, the Melech lays Hakel Dafka from the Sefer Azor. And maybe the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur also lay, that's a din deraisa, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, those are the two Kriyas HaTorahs that are deraisa. Tosfos is fishing around. The Gemara talks about Kriyas HaTorah deraisa, does it have to be in the original Hebrew? Can you lay Kriyas HaTorah from a Sefer Torah that's written in translation? So Tosfos says, where do you have Kriyas HaTorah deraisa? The whole institution of Kriyas HaTorah is derabbanan. So Tosfos came up with the Chiddush that Parshas Amalek. Amalek is deraisa. And then some Rishonim say Parshas Parah is deraisa. So the two that the standard two Kriyas HaTorah that are deraisa every 70th year. Hakel is deraisa. There's a din you have to learn Hakel. That's in today's Sedra. In Vayelach. Ikei Shabbos Shalom Moish Nas Hashim B'Dech HaGasuk V'Vokal Yisrael Yeroes You have to lane hakilt. So that's a kriyas haTorah deraisa. And the kangodol on Yom Kippur, in conjunction with hakrovas hakarbon, has to lane achrei mois and chumash apkudim. The Mishnah says he has to lane achrei mois and emor, and then chumash apkudim, he says by heart. So the Mishnah singles out that normally when a person gets an aliyah and perek elin emorim, the second half of Soita begins around Daf Lamada, so it has elin emorim. The following mitzvahs of Amir can be fulfilled only in the original Hebrew, duchening and mikra bikurim, and the following can be fulfilled in translation. Let's say a person gets an aliyah, doesn't know how to say the brachas in Hebrew. So mikra ednei can say the bracha in translation also if he has an accurate translation. But the kangodol on Yom Kippur, when he lanes, and the melech, when he lanes by hakel, has to be, the brach has to be in the original Hebrew. That's what the Mishnah says there. So apparently it's a special kind of kriyas haTorah, the hakel and the kangodol. So that's what Tosis in the first perek in Bava Basra, around after the Daf Yud Dalet or so, Tosis quotes a Rashi like that hakel had to be dafka from Sefer Azora, and perhaps the kangodol on Yom Kippur has to lane dafka from the Sefer Azora. The Rambam writes that the Sefer Torah Shel Melech, Melech has a din, by a kishuk tal kisim achos klas as mishta Torah zayis, the Rambam writes the Gemara in the second paragraph of Sanhedrin has all the dinim of Melech, that the Melech has to write an additional Sefer Torah, so that Sefer Torah Shel Melech has to be copied from the Sefer Azor. If you copy a Sefer, you always have to write a Sefer from a copy from another existing Sefer. So that also perhaps has a stat, if it'll be in the Azor, usually the Melech takes it with him. It has to take it with him. But if it's in the Azor, because it was copied from the Sefer Azor, they'll also have the status of Sefer Azor. You can have more than three Sifri Azor. Yeah, the din of Hakel doesn't apply Bizman Azeh Min HaTorah at all, for different reasons. Pashtus is because Shemitah is only with the Rabban. The din of Hakel only applies to Chol HaMoed Sukkos following Shnas HaShemitah. So most poskim assume, Ruba de Ruba assume that Shemitah is only the Rabbanon. So there's no din of Hakel min HaTorah. Those that don't go for the Het Mechira, so they, like anyone that doesn't like the Erev, so they say it's a Shusaram Daraisa. So you can't make an Erev. So those that don't like the Het Mechira say Shemitah is Daraisa. Rabbi Yosef Engel writes, Rabbi Yosef Engel was a mechutin of the Kotzke Rebbe, Morgenstern. So the Kotzke Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Engel, died around 100 years ago. Approximately 100 years ago. So his mechutin, the Kotzke Rebbe, published a whole kol kori against the colonists who lived in Eretz Yisrael, that they're relying on the Hetem Mechira, that the Shemitah is their Eisen, and the Hetem Mechira is baloney. And they have a din of Mechal Shabbos Befehesi, din of Ka'akum, because the Chumash refers to Shemitah Shabbos. So just like Mechal Shabbos, din of Ka'akum, so Mechal Shemitah is din of Ka'akum, and he goes on and on and on. So Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote a whole open letter to his Mechut, in which he published, 100 pages long, Otzvis Yosef on Shvius. Several of his farm are called Otzvis Yosef. So this one, Otzvis Yosef on Shvius. So he says, there is no such din. He says, I'm prepared to swear on a Sefer Torah, the Shemitah Muzman, as there's only the Rabbanon. It's not the Raisa, and the Mechutin is wrong. And he said, there is no such din. The Mechal Shabbos Pesach, Dina Kakam on Shemitah, there is no such thing. He says, line by line, says the whole Kol Kori is not correct. So the Pashto says that Muzman is there. There's no Shemitah, the Raisa. So that's why there's no Hakel today. Some thought that the melech is ma'akeh b'diyeved. The kriya has to be done by the melech, since we don't have a melech. And Eretz Yisrael, they used to have the Rosh HaMemshalah would read. Herzog read. I don't know if he was in Shem Shabbos. Chaim Herzog was the president. It wasn't the Rosh HaMemshalah, he was the president. So he read. That's why many were upset that the Rosh HaMemshalah, or the president, usually they're not Shem Shabbos. Maybe now the president will read, whatever. Now they have a Shem Shabbos president. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that was not fair. He thought that the melech is not miyakev. You don't have to have the apke the melech. The practice would be, the Mishnahs have, you used to have the melech would lay in by hakel, but that's not ma'akev. But he said, Shemitah is ma'akev. So since today there's no Shemitah deraisa, so that's why we don't have any hakel deraisa. He says, by hakel you have to gather everybody, ha'noshim, ha'noshim, ha'taf. Gemara says Noshim is an exception to the rule. This is absolutely a mitzvah sese shazman groma, and nonetheless Noshim amchuyif to participate. Gemara gives you a whole list of mitzvah sese shazman groma that are exceptions to the rule, that the women are amchuyif.
How come there's not a chiyuv derabanan to listen to hakel nowadays?
they never made a chiyuv the rabbanon. I don't know. They never have anywhere that they made a chiyuv the rabbanon. Yeah. So noshim is an exception to the rule. Kiddush is also an exception to the rule. Matzah is an exception to the rule. The Rambam writes in one place there are more exceptions to the rule than there are mitzvahs that fall under the rule. That women are potter from Zman Grama. There's so many exceptions to the rule. Simchas Yontav is a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rabbi, machlekes in the Gemara, in the first paragraph in Chagiga, where the women are mechuyev in Simchas Yontav. Pasuk says, Samachta ato, the Geva, Yasu Amana, Shebike Becha, so it says, Ha'almana, it says, ato beisecho, ishto. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim and a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rabbi. Doesn't mean that the women are mechuyev in Simcha, doesn't mean that husband is not Yotze Simcha unless he offers the wife that she should have Bisar Kotshim. On Yontif. But that's a machlekes. But the women are mechuyev in Simchas Yom. So here it is clear that the women are mechuyev in Hakel, that's an exception to the rule, despite the fact that it's Zman Grama. Who are the top obviously before Bar Mitzvah. If they're after Bar Mitzvah, so that's on Noshim on Noshim. So it's not tough. So how old are they? So the Ramban is Mesupik and it's Pirush on Chumash, but it means even Yonke Shodayim, mamish little infants. Or no, maybe it means young children. He's old enough to understand what's going on over there. So the Ramban thinks that in the Gemara it says, "Hanoshim boim lilmud, hanoshim boos lishmaya, v'ataf laman boim litn schale meviyayim." Why did the Gemara say litn schale meviyayim? The Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga, the Rishonim said that ataf are also coming to have the experience to listen to the Melech and to hear. So it would appear the Ramban says it would appear from the Gemara. You're talking about Yonke Shadayim, mamish infants. They don't even understand. They won't be able to tell over anything later on. They didn't even hear what was going on. They can't even see. Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather Rav Chaim thought that the Gemara didn't prove anything. He thought that it didn't make sense to say on a child who doesn't even register, doesn't know what's going on. Yonke Shadayim. A five-year-old, he'll be able to say, the Melech was reading the Sefer, he'll be able to say something. But the little tiny infants, he thought that it didn't make any sense. He thought that that's mamish misasek. If the baby doesn't know what's going on, he thought that the Ramban's raya is not a raya. Litan Tzchalim Eviyem doesn't prove that you're talking about Yonke Shadayim. He thought that the other side of the Ramban was more correct. And the Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga discusses to what extent is this mitzvah of Hakel similar to the mitzvah of Rias Ponim Ba'azara. Who's potter from this and who's potter from the other? Man Yishmu, the one who's deaf is potter. The man Yilmedu, we interpret it Leman Yilamdu. If the person is mute, he's unable to speak, so he's potter from the mitzvah of Hakel. The Sushadu, they have to learn Hakel from the Sefer Azara. Why did they have a hakel on Chol HaMoed? Why didn't they have it on Yontif? B'chagas Sukkos, b'vok kol Yisrael le'eros, as Pnei Hashem said, had the first day Chol HaMoed. Why didn't they have the first day Yontif? Ziz Magdim L'mitz, why don't you have the first day Yontif? So the Rambam and the Ravid have a machlokes in Hilchas Chagiga. There are two explanations given in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Why wasn't hakel on the first day Yontif? So the Rambam quotes one, and the Ravid quotes the other one. Each one quotes a different explanation. So one explanation is given because he used to blow chatzotzes in conjunction. That was the practice. He used to blow chatzotzes in conjunction with the hakel, and you're not allowed to blow musical instruments on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but on Chol HaMoed apparently it is permissible. That's a big machlokes. The Shari Tshuva next to the Behetav has a machlokes. Are you allowed to play the piano on Chol HaMoed? My wife paskin is muta. If you're interested. But it's a machlekes. Yeah, why did my wife paskin that it's muta? Why is it assumed that it's muta? There's a taisvis in the first paragraph in Chagiga, two line taisvis. Taisvis says, you're not allowed to go horseback riding on Chol HaMoed, because in Roch Magabi Sus, you're not allowed to ride an animal, not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. So the Beis Yosef says, we don't paskin like that taisvis, period. Just like that. Why? Because you're only not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed what's a melocha deraisa, a melocha derabbanan. Riding on a horse is not even a melochem of the Rabban. It's a gzeira, shema yachtach zmor. while you're riding on the horse, he may break off a branch from the tree to whip the horse to encourage him that he should go faster. So whatever is only a gzera, they never instant chalamot. It's not a malacha even mid the rabbanon. It's a gzera. He's not allowed to handle muk. It's a gzera shema yotzi. He may carry it. Or playing a musical instrument is awesome mid the rabbanon. Gzera shema yisak and klishir. Or the refuah. You're not allowed to apply refuah medications on Shabbos Yanti. Gzera shema. Shema yishachik some of the money. May grind up some of the herbs in order to prepare. And tochen is a malacha derais. So all of these are gzeiras. Whatever is only a gzeira doesn't apply to chalamites. So riding on horse, that's what. Tosis writes this little one, two line Tosis says, you're not allowed to ride horseback on Yontif. And the Bishesh says, we don't paskan like that Tosis because it's only a gzeira midirabon. Really, to keep your shop open, should have been mutter and chalamoid, because Mecca Chamemka is only us, so don't write. Keep your store open and don't write. So that's what the Rosh has a long arichas. He quotes the Yerushalmi, Meikre Din should have really been mutter, because it's only a gzera. Mecca Chamemka is only a gzera, Shema Yichtov. So they really should have allowed it. But if you'll permit people to keep their shops open on chalamoid, then the whole purpose of a chalamoid is you have a day off from work, be able to sit and learn. So the guys are going to keep his shop open. He's going to be busy all day long in the business, and he won't learn at all. So that's why they made a new Isser. The Mecca Chamemke is also, but it really doesn't fit in with the rest of the rules. It's an exception to the rules. So that's why we have a kula that you're permitted to do a malach and chalamoid if it's a dove ha'oved. Dove ha'oved means you're going to lose a lot of money. So, but let's say you're going to lose a lot of money. But let's say you're not going to lose any money. But there's a big. If I'll do a malacha chalamoid, I'll make $1 million. If I'll do a malacha, I'll make money. But I'm not going to lose any money at all. I just won't gain any money. So that's what chalamoid is all about. You're not allowed to do malacha chalamoid even to gain money. But if there's a big sale in the store, you're not going to lose any money if you don't go to the sale. But you're going to lose an opportunity to save a lot of money. So then we are mekel. How come a mekel? Why is that called Dover Ha'ovid by Mekel Chamemkar? And it's not called Ovid by Malach. And the answer is because Mekel Chamemkar should have really been mutter. It's a separate gzera de'asa, the Yerushalmi says, because otherwise the guy's going to be busy in the shop all day and all night. He's not going to relax to learn any Torah. So there we have a more lenient definition of what's called the Dover Ha'ovid. If there's a big sale on, so then you're allowed to go buy it on Chalamoid. So the Rambam and the Ravid quote these two reasons given by the Yerushalmi. So one reason why we should say Zvizim Magdim the Mitzvah, just like, why do you do Hakka the first day Chalamoid? Why don't you wait till the last day Chalamoid? Zvizim Magdim the Mitzvah. So do on the first day Yontif, what's the problem? So one reason given is they want to have Tkiyas Chatzaitzis, and you're not allowed to blow on Chalamoid, you're allowed to blow musical instruments, you're allowed to play musical instruments, the Pashtus, but on Yontif you're not allowed to. The other reason given is because they used to have a Bima Shalaitz, they used to have a wooden platform, and laying from an elevated platform. Why'd they lay from an elevated platform? Probably that the voice should carry. In the Zohar it says that in Shul, when you lay Kriyas HaTorah, you shall lay from an elevated platform. It doesn't say because the voice should carry. It says because the Torah was given a Har Sinai from a higher elevation. So in the Shul, you need a platform that represents Har Sinai. But if you have a Beis HaMedrash, so the whole Beis HaMedrash is the top of Har Sinai. Everybody's learning in the Beis Medrash all the time, supposedly. So you don't need an elevated platform in the Beis Medrash. The whole Beis Medrash is the top of Har Sinai. That's why the Beis Medrash downstairs doesn't have an elevated platform. But in shuls, you're supposed to have an elevated platform. So maybe that's the reason why they had an elevated platform. Maybe it's not so much that the boy should carry. Maybe this should be Dumya de Maimon Har Sinai. It could be. Anyway, so the other reason given by the Yerushalmi is that they wanted to make an elevated platform, and you're not allowed to build a platform on Yontif. So build it on Erev Yontif and take it apart on Metzoy Yontif. So he says, no, that'll be a violation of Leisita Loch Asher HaKaleitz, Eitzel Mizbach Hashem Alakecha. Asher HaKaleitz doesn't mean an Asher for worshipping Avodah Zarah purposes. That's a different Issa. Not to worship, not to make Avodah Zarah. Not allowed to make a wooden structure in the Azara. You're not allowed to plant a tree in the Azara. You're not allowed to make a wooden structure. So if you only make a wooden structure temporarily for a few hours, like they used to have graduation on the lawn over here, they used to have the last I remember Dr. Lehm's investiture was on the lawn. Now there's no more lawn. Now they built a gym over there. But before there was a gym, there used to be grass over there. So they used to have graduation over here, and they would put up, that morning they would put up wooden platform, and that afternoon, after the graduation, they would take it apart. So that they did in the Beis HaMikdosh on Chol HaMoed Sukkot, because they put up the wooden platform on Chol HaMoed, and they took it down, because they didn't want to leave it up for 24 hours or more, because that will be a violation of the din of L'sita Lo HaShera Kaleitz. You're not allowed to plant a tree in the Azor, and you're not allowed to make a wooden structure. So if it's less than 24 hours, that's a Yikroi. But if it's more than 24 hours, then it's a Chshashis. So these are the two reasons that the Rambam and the Rabbi, the Rishami gives the both reasons, two different opinions. So the Rambam likes one of the reasons, and the Rabbi writes the other reason. In recent years, the Aderis was brought in when Rav Shmuel Salant was the head of the Badatz of the Eid HaCharedis. So he was getting on in years, so he thought that they should hire an assistant rabbi to take over when he has to retire. So they were pilfering whom they should take as the assistant rabbi. So they say that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik recommended Rabbi Tzela Panavishim. He felt that they had many rabbanim would retire to Eretz Yisrael, and they would join the Badatz of the Eid HaCharedis. They had a lot of Moira HaRoa. They had a lot. The Torah's Chesed that we mentioned yesterday, Torah's Chesed has two volumes, Chelek Arachayim and Chelek Ebenezer. He's the one who has the famous two tshuvas in Ebenezer about abortions. He's the one who's Mekel. The old Tzitz Eliezer is based on the Torah's Chesed. And Chelek Arachayim, he has much of what he has in Chelek Arachayim. His Shabbos HaGodol Pilpulim and the Shabbos Shuvah Pilpulim. So one of the Shabbos Shuvah Pilpulim is about the Ramah that we mentioned yesterday. The Ramah says you're not allowed to use shofar shem behema tmeya for the mitzvah of shofar because lehuchshu l'malach shamayim v'lo har behema torah belvad. So some Rishonim hold the Ran is mesupik. The Ramah quotes from the Ran, but the Ran himself is mesupik, but it's not sure. Why was he mesupik? Because it's a tashmishi mitzvah. It's not a tashmishi kedusha. The two cases that the Gemara said that you're not a lehuchshu l'malach shamayim is the Oris Tchoshim on the Mishkan, that's Kedushas on Mishkan, and the Ritzuas of the Tefillin. So those are Tashmisha Kedusha. Does it carry over to Tashmisha Mitzvah? So the Torah's Chesed has a long pilpul about that. So the Torah's Chesed was Rav Shneur Zalman. He was the rabbi in Lublin. He retired. He moved to Yerushalayim. They had a lot of Moira HaRoa in Yerushalayim. They knew how to pass Kanjalas. But Rav Chaim felt that they need someone who knows how to say a big pilpul, to say a big shir. And Rabbi Tzela Panavishim was a great goyim. He said fantastic original chidushim. So he recommended Rabbi Tzela Panavishim, but it didn't happen. They didn't take him. So they took the Aderis. Aderis was the rabbi in, I think, first in Panavishim, then in Mir. And then he moved. He was the first father-in-law of Rav Kook. Then Rav Kook's wife passed away, and he married her cousin. So by the time, and the Aderis died afterwards. So by the time the Aderis died, he was no longer Rav Kook's father-in-law, but he published a sefer, Ha'eder HaYakar. He published a whole sefer like a hesped on the Aderis. He was still close to him even after he died. So they took the Aderis. He came from Europe. He came, I think, 1902 or something like that. And he was the assistant to Rav Shmuel Salant to take over. Rav Shmuel Salant retires. And it never happened, because the Aderis passed away, I think, 1906 or something like that. Then Rav Shmuel Salant lived on. It's another 10, 15 years. He lived on to a ripe old age. Rabbi Chalap says that on the Matzeva of the Aderis, it says, Shenisman Aliyas Rabbi Yerushalayim. He was appointed to serve as the rabbi after Rav Shmuel Salant will retire. It never happened. Rav Shmuel Salant didn't retire during his lifetime. So he never got the job. So the Aderis published a pamphlet that's called Zecha LaHakel. When he moved there, it's Israel, so they asked him, are you permitted to have a Zecha LaHakel? We don't have the mitzvah of Hakel anymore, because we don't have a Shemitah Derais, and they never made a Takana Midrabbanon. Even though there is Shemitah Midrabbanon, they never made a Takana of Hakel Midrabbanon. So the Shaila is it permissible to make a Zecher to a mitzvah? So so he quotes Gemaras, and he develops the following theme. The Gemara says, if you don't have an esrik, so you shouldn't use a parish or a rimon. So the Gemara says, of course not. What are you going to gain by having a parish or a rimon? Gemara says, shelo tishtakach toras dalad minim. The children never saw, let's say young children, they never saw the mitzvah of dalad minim. So maybe we should use a lemon and not say a bracha to make a zecha to the dalad minim. So for educational purpose, so the Gemara says, no, you shouldn't do that, because Dilma Nofik B'nei Churva, next year we may have an esrig available, and they're going to take a lemon, and they'll say a bracha, and they'll think that's a kosher for the mitzvah. That's the klal. So the same in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. Let's say the only shofar you have is a pasul shofar. The town doesn't have a kosher shofar, so should you blow shofar with the pasul shofar on Rosh Hashanah? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes Nachmanim the same consideration. We're concerned Dilma Nafik B'nei Churva Kilkel may come out. They'll think that this is a kosher shofar. So next this year we know we're just doing it L'zeicha L'mitzvah shofar, and we're not going to say a bracha. Next year somebody may remember, oh, we used the shofar last year, we should say a bracha. So that's the rule. So that's the rule. Are you permitted to make an imitation mitzvah? Let's say the women. In the Bai Sheni period, the women felt cheated why they can't do a smicha on the karbonis. So there was machlokes at time, would you permit kedei lasas nachas ruach l'noshim? They feel that they're excluded, so should you allow them to do imitation smicha, just to put akufa yadaichu, to have the hands floating on top of the karbonis. The real mitzvah of smicha, you only yotze, if you lean on the animal b'chol koicha, in such a way that if you take away the animal, you're going to fall down. Mom is leaning on the animal with both hands. So the women weren't permitted to do that. That's an Isar Avodah B'Kotchim. They're not mechuyev to do smicha, so they're not allowed to do smicha. It's an Isar Avodah B'Kotchim. Should we permit them to do imitation smicha? So Tosfos learns that was the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. That was the machlokes HaTanaim. Are you concerned, Dilma Nafik B'nei Churva, maybe the women will do smicha b'chol koicham? But you don't have to be concerned. Or maybe kedei la'atas nachas ruach l'noshim, maybe you're allowed to violate an Isar D'Rabbanan. Maybe they really everyone agrees that there should be an Isser, but you would be permitted to violate that Isser. So the Aderis writes in his Kuntras, that's the rule. When do we permit imitation mitzvah, when not? It all depends whether there's a chashash dimon nafik b'nei churva. So he says he came to Eretz Yisrael, and they tell him that for years already, the malamdim who teach little children on Chalamoid Sukkos would always bring groups of children to the Kosel HaMaravi, and they would read from a chumash the sections that the Melech would read. He says, we never heard that any churva came out. It was never nafik b'nei churva. So he writes in his sefer, he thinks that is mutar. So they have the small svarim, the collection of letters of the Chazon Ish. So in the end of the collection of letters, they write that they had a copy of the sefer written by the Aderis, that's called Zecha LaHakel. So the Chazon Ish wrote on in ink on the cover, Shein lismach ha-mashikos of a sefer hazeh. Shouldn't rely. He probably wrote it after Hakamas HaMedina, when they had, Ben Gurion, who did they have reading the Sefer Torah, the Rosh HaMemshala, the president, whoever it was, probably someone who wasn't observant. I don't know. So they wrote, the Chazon Ish wrote that, that's what they quote, the Chazon Ish wrote, Ein Lismach HaMash Kosma Sefer HaZeh. So every seventh year, when they have the Zecha LaHakel, so it's sponsored by the Rabbanut and by the government and the plaza in front of the Kosel Maravi and that. Levim dressed up in white and blowing trumpets, so the B'nai Torah always boycotted. But the people who go say that it's extremely moving. They say it's beautiful. I don't know what, I never went, but my wife went. She says it's extremely moving. She doesn't feel mechuyev to follow the Chazon Ish. Yeah. Then the Rebbeim Shalom says, the Jewish people are going to worship Avodah Zarah. Hincha Shoich Ma'avetzech, V'kom Ma'amazeh B'zonah. After you die, they're going to worship Avodah Zarah. Histarti Ponem Ehem. They're going to be a Hester Ponem. Anoch HaHasta Erasta Ponem B'yom Ahu. What does Hester Ponem mean? So that those who misunderstood the concept of Hester Ponem, they thought what it means is that God is not watching over us. He doesn't look at us. So there's a Sefer on the Raman that's called the Yad HaKtana. We give a nickname to the Rambam, we call it the Arach Hazoka. So this fat sefer is called the Arach Tana. An anonymous author wrote his sefer. They say he was a businessman. And it's a very, he's very strong on Hashkafe. He has a little bit halacha. Also, once in a while, the Pesach Tshuva quotes him. Hilchas Mezuzah, they quote what he says in the Arach Tana. So he explains what it means, Hester Ponim. He says, the Rebbeinu Shlom is looking at us. He's watching over us, but we can't see him. We can't see him. He's made since Menach Harakim, like someone who's peeking through the keyhole. So you, the one who's peeking through can see everything that's happening in the other room, but the person in the room doesn't see him. It's only a crack in the door or a tiny little keyhole. So that's what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meitzitz Melech HaRakim. Hester Pan means that we can't see him, but he certainly does see us, and he's still watching over the Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara in the first paragraph in Chagigah says that there was once a debate between an Apikoros and one of the Amoraim, and the debate was held in pantomime, without speaking any words, in front of the governor of the area in Eretz Yisrael, the Goyish governor. So the Apikoros was the first one to present his shita. So he's standing next to the rabbi. So he goes like this. He turns his back to the rabbi and he walks away. He presented his shita. Then the rabbi has to respond. So he stands next to the Apikoros and he goes like this. So Gemara says the governor didn't understand anything. What was the whole debate? So he asked Apikoros, what did you mean? He said, Hester upon him. God turns his back on the Jewish people, he walks away. That's what the early Christians said. The Jewish people lost their status as the Amman Ifcha because we rejected Osa Huish. And they're the Amman Ifcha. The Christians claim for many centuries that they're the Amman. They still say that they're the Amman Ifcha and we lost our status. So he asked the rabbi, what did he say? He says that's what he's showing us that the Hester put him. He doesn't care about that. He walked away from the Jewish people. And what did you indicate? He said, I indicated. It says in Tanakh the expression, Od Yon in the Tuya. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps on punishing, singling out the Jewish people is always anti-Semitism. It means what the still Yaman Hifchar. He's still watching over us. He's punishing us. We don't see him, but he sees us and he's still watching over us. So the Gemara says that the governor put the Apikoros didn't understand the response that the rabbi gave. So the governor was upset. If you're speaking in pantomime, I didn't understand anything. But you don't understand what the rabbi said, so you deserve to be put to death. So he put the Apikoros to death. Yeah, they used to have trouble from these Apikorsim. We used to quote Psukim from Tanakh about Osa Huish, always about Yoshke. Then the Rebbe Shalom tells Moshe and Yeshua, Kisra lechem es hashira hazois. Landes b'nei Yisrael simu b'fim. So the Pshuto Shal Mikra, this is Moshe and Yeshua together. Pshuto Shal Mikra, why is it in the plural Kisra lechem? He's speaking to Moshe and Yeshua. They should write shira sazinu. They should teach it to b'nei Yisrael. So the Netziv writes in his commentary on Chumash, unlike the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula, that first Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the nevuah to b'nei Yisrael, and then he wrote it down. Here, Shiras Hazina was Fakert. First, Kisra Lechem, and then Velamdez Bnei Yisrael. It was different. That's what Rab Chaim Soloveitchik married the granddaughter of the Netziv, so they quote B'Shem Rab Chaim that he thought that that was Pshat and Tosfos. The Gemara says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the whole Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, so the whole Chumash was Moshe Oimer V'Koysev, and the Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah, the end of the Chumash, that described the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't Omer V'Kosev, it was Moshe Kosev B'Dema. So Tosa says, from the fact that the Gemara says Moshe Omer V'Kosev, become Tzas Remez L'minig Asofrim, that when they copy a Sefer Torah, they're copying, it said Bereshis Bar Lakim, so they mumbled Bereshis Bar Lakim and they write it down. So it says Moshe Omer V'Kosev, Moshe Rabbeinu would mutter under his breath Bereshis Bar Lakim before he would be about to write it. So Tosa says, Mikan Ktsas Smach L'minig Asofrim, why is it Ktsas Smach? Isn't that what it says in the Gemara? Moshe Omer V'Kosev. Rab Chaim said, no, that's it's a remez. That's not pshat. Moshe Omer V'Kosev means when Rabbi Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu the din of tzitzis and Shabbos and Taras HaMishpacha, Moshe Omer, he delivered the nevuah to Bnei Yisrael Omer V'Kosev, then he wrote it down. First he had to deliver the nevuah, it should be Bore Nivs V'Saim. Niv is something that you pronounce with your mouth. And then he wrote it down that it became a Cheftz Shalter. Unlike and the Shmonim Sud Meshabbat Torah, he didn't deliver the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. That wasn't Omer V'Kosev. So that's what the Netziv says. First delivered the Nevuah, and then he wrote it down. And Shiva Sazina was different. Kis V'Lachem, and then V'Lam Des Bnei Yisrael. First write it down, and then teach it to Bnei Yisrael. So this is really the Pshuto Shal Mikra. It goes on, Moshe V'Yeshua should write down Shiva Sazinu, and then they should tell it to Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara said, that was a Hayra Shah. That was once in the history of the world. So that doesn't deserve to be included in the Sefer HaMitzvah. So the Gemara has in Sanhedrin an additional level of interpretation that's not Lefi Pshuto, Al Pi Pashtos. Kisvo Lachem is a tzivut to every Jewish person. Every Jewish person has to write a Sefer Torah. Kisvo Lachem is Hashira Hazois. So the Rambam includes it in Sefer HaMitzvah. So that's problematic, because Pshuto Shal Mikra, it's talking to Moshe Yeshua to write Shiras Hazinum and to deliver Nevuah. That's a Hayra Ashur. And this additional level of interpretation, the Rambam says he don't include the mitzvahs that are only known through drushas of Torah Shebaal Peh. So why did the Rambam count this mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah? The big machlokes in Yerideya, in the Pischi Tshuva and Hilchas Sefer Torah, can you fulfill a mitzvah b'shutfus? They say every person has to write his own Sefer Torah, or you can get together a whole community, 500 people, each one gives $10, so you have enough money, so you commission a Sefer, maybe $10 not enough, you commission a Sefer to write the Sefer Torah for everybody. So the Gemara says, some hold that you're not Yotze. Others hold that you are Yotze because it says Kisva Lechem in the plural, and the Gemara says in Chulin that that's the rule. Whenever the Torah has the mitzvah written in Beloshen Rabbim, then the mitzvah applies even by Rabbim, even by Shutfas. Whenever it's written Beloshen Yochid, so then it doesn't apply by Shutfas. The other Achrenim say that we don't know how to darshan psukim, we don't even know how to apply the klal that the Gemara has how to darshan the psukim. So that's a machlokes, but the yotze ksiba sefer Torah b'shutfus. The meaning of Olam is that you are yotze, that you are yotze. Then there's a big machlokes, are you yotze the mitzvah? If you commission the sefer to write a sefer Torah, then you donate the sefer Torah to the shul. So samach reinim hal, you just lost the mitzvah. You only became the mitzvah if you have a Jewish library. You have to write in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the old Jewish library. It was the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. That was it. Jewish Publication Society used to have 1 week was dedicated, a Jewish library week. They wanted everybody to buy books printed by the JPS, the Jewish Publication Society. So the so samach reinim hal, that you're only yotzei the mitzvah if you hold on to the Sefer Torah. Kisva lechem v'lam das ma'isol. Write a Sefer Torah that you should have it at home, you should be able to learn. But if you donate it to the shul and you can't get it back, then you just ruin the mitzvah. Now you have to write a whole new Sefer Torah all over again. That's a big machlekes. What is the role of the mitzvah? What is the basis? Is the basis of the mitzvah we should have more texts, more copies of the Sefer Torah, so the text should not be forgotten, text should not be lost? So if I write a Sefer Torah, I give it away to the shul, that's fine. Or they say, no, Kisva Valamda. You should have a Sefer Torah. Every Jew should have a Jewish library. That's the Shaila. The Tur quotes in the name of the Rosh, the Bizman Hazeh, where Yotze with a printed Svarim. He didn't have printed, where Yotze with Tanakh and with Gemaris and with Mishnayis. So many ask, what do you mean? That's Reform Judaism. What do you mean? You're giving the reason for the mitzvah, and let's say, a guy wanted to know, Rashi says that you should wear tzitzis, as chartam is called mitzvah Hashem, because tzitzis big in matria, 600, and then you have 8 knots, and what do you have? You have 5 knots, and you have 8 strings, 8 and 5 is 13, so 613. So a guy wanted to know, he'll put a big tattoo on his chest, 613. We'll have a tattoo all over his, a sweatshirt that has 613. So you can't be yotze with that, you have to do the mitzvah the way he says in the Chumash. How did the Rosh decide that you yotze with a printed svarim, with other svarim? So this machlokes, the Bach and the Beis Yosef, what did the Rosh mean? So some achronim interpret, he meant, Abizman Hazeh, it's not sufficient to write a Sefer Torah, you have to have a whole Jewish library. Not enough. In addition to the Sefer Torah, you have to have a full library. Others say, no, the Rosh meant that you don't have to write a Sefer Torah. You can fulfill the mitzvah of Abizman Hazeh by having, because nobody learns from a Sefer Torah today. We all learn from printed svarim. So that's the way to fulfill the mitzvah. So that's the Shaila. What do you mean? The whole nature of the whole mitzvah changes. So the later Achronim say, no, the Torah gives the reason over here, Kisva Lechem V'Lamda. The whole purpose of Ksiva Sefer Torah is to have a Sefer that you should always be able to learn. So if today the practice is that people learn from printed svarim, so the way to fulfill the mitzvah is to have a full set of all the art scrolls. Got to have all the art scroll Gemara and the art scroll Tanakh. You have to have everything that you can have to learn. Yeah, that's mitzvah 613. Kisva lechem es hashir azos v'lamda es b'nei Yisrael sima b'fihim. The Ramah holds the mitzvah only applies to the men, doesn't apply to the women. So the Shagazaria understood that the reason why it doesn't apply to women, because if a woman writes a Sefer Torah, the Gemara says it'll be posel. So he says, so let her commission a man to write a Sefer Torah. Women are mechuyvim mezuzah, if they write their own mezuzah, it'll be posel. So they have to get a man to write the mezuzah for them. So maybe the women are mechuyev to write a Sefer Torah, mechuyev to commission a man to write a Sefer Torah. So the Shagzai thinks that the Rambam is wrong. He thinks that women are also mechuyev. Beis Halevi comes to defend the Rambam. So he says the Rambam understood from the pasuk that here it says the tam hamitzvah kisvelachem velamda. The purpose of the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah, to have a sefer that you shall learn from it. So since women are not mechuyev in Talmud Torah, so therefore they're not mechuyev in ksiva sefer Torah either. Usually we say loy dashin in time of the crow. We don't delve into what's the reason for the mitzvah. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah doesn't apply. But here the Chumash gives you the reason. We don't have to delve into it. It says beferish kisva velamda. So since it says the reason, so whenever the reason doesn't apply by women, they're not mechuyev in Talmud Torah. So the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. That's how the Beis Halevi interprets the Rambam sheet. Very good. Okay, have a good Shabbos. Everyone's invited to stay in the yeshiva for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Got to have a good time here.
I think this past the Hakel was a big thing. It was the first time it was someone who shalom Shabbos.
Oh, yeah. The first time? Yeah.
So, did you think that it would be Hashem?
Mazel tov.
Good.
Good.
Good. Tonight is what time is
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
And
then
we'll
have
the
end. We'll see you. Okay. Shall give it a give it early. Good. Good.
Should one have a saber for in their house even if they're not going to learn from them?
Yeah, it's the mitzvah, see, besides her, that is, right? I give it on loan to the shul. I should give it to the shul, but I should be able to take it back whenever I want.
Isn't there an issue of having it on the
shul? Yeah. Okay. Be careful.
According to the Rush, every time one purchases a sefer, would that be an independent kiyum of the mitzvah, or is it just a one-time thing?
That's
the
enhancing the kiyum. Enhancing the kiyum. If you're going to learn from the sefer,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, sorry, you're trying to work hard on that.
What should you do in America?
The Iker of Klal Yisrael, the Iker of the Talmid of Chum lived in Robin. So that's somehow they just called Klal Yisrael. Nineveh, they were not the Goli Adrabi, but the big Talmid of Chum lived in Robin. So that's also called Klal Yisrael. It's a problem. We should really say the Rush, the Torah quotes the Rush. He doesn't understand. There is no dry season. In Germany and France, Spain, where he's in Germany, there is no dry season. So he said, you should say, how much oil?